Hello everyone, welcome to the NRF1 podcast with you from Norwich, England, UK, the home of former Formula One dynasty and a lot of knowledge, expertise and Formula One passion. And we're here to bring you our Brazilian Grand Prix preview because episode 138 of this very podcast is the point where we say the 2016 Formula One season could be about to come to its climax, minus the last race. Obviously, we are here with you on Audio Boom, on Acast, on iTunes, across the World Wide Web, and we've got some great stuff to go through. My name is Michael Bailey. I'm with Perry Hamilton and Kyle Cumbers tonight. The light is on, it is raining, and Kyle is in a fluorescent jacket reminiscent of... Which sort of team would have had a livery like Braun. That? Braun?
That's Braun? Braun? That's a Braun yellow. That's a Braun yellow right there.
Yeah, exactly. Championship winning. Jacket.
That's a fair point. And I guess where we are with... Oh, hang on. My poor brain is... Mercedes
did used to be Braun. Yeah, that's right. Ross Braun sold the company to Mercedes after he won his championship. Yeah.
That just feels like so long ago. You could hear the cogs like going crunch. Really?
2009 season?
Braun won it and then they sold in that winter.
Like 6 years ago.
Well, I tell you what, we do normally start off with the news. So before we get into our Brazil preview, we'll do that. And we should start with Ross Braun because he's been kind of at the top of all this. The suggestions are he's got a big role to play under Formula One when Liberty... do whatever they're going to do and take charge, and Chase Carey does his thing. But then a lot of denial about it as well. How do you see the situation as it stands, Kyle?
We have to be careful because he's springing out a book. So.
Oh, no.
But I don't think Ross Braun's that type of person just to create a bit of publicity for his book.
He might not be, but the people who are marketing the book would be.
True, yeah. But he denied signing any agreement, but then he... confirmed that he'd been working on a consultancy basis with Liberty. So I don't know if when Liberty finally buy out commercial rights, then he may be or may have a role within the future of Formula One, which I think will be very good because we need people like that in Formula One who can build have a plan of where Formula One wants to be.
This is it. We want him involved, don't we?
Well, we do. I do because he's...
I don't know if Ped does.
Well, now, hang on. Let me talk you through it. We do because he is incredibly knowledgeable and he's very good at explaining that knowledge. Okay, so, you know, you can talk to him and he's not kind of like Adrian Newey who has all of these things in his head but doesn't necessarily know how to explain them to you in a way that you'd understand. Layman's terms, if you will. And Ross Braun seems to do that very well in the interviews that I've seen him in. The problem I have is you've got a company buying a sport... that has lost so many viewers because of a lack of parity, because you have one dominant team at the front. So who do you bring in to help fix that? The man behind the longest run of single team dominance in Formula One history that caused so many fans to turn away because they got bored of Schumacher winning all the time. Let that sink in for a moment.
It's a good point.
It's an interesting point, yeah. But hopefully it'd be... have you been more neutral and maybe he's learned from those periods.
Maybe those secrets will go to everyone. So they'll go, okay, how do we enable a team to be, you know, competitive? Ross, what's your thoughts? And he would look at introducing that and rolling it out and what have you. But I just, you know, if you want to bring someone in to make the teams more even, don't bring in the guy that was one of them and then took a team and made it for the first half of the season that he ran it, like far and away the most dominant team on the grid.
That underlines the intelligence of the guy, most definitely. Which you'd like to think, therefore, transposing it from trying to get one team to dominate to getting the sport to be better would do it a service. But we'd have to see. Or maybe we won't find out. We don't know. But when do we think Liberty will buy out the rest of the shares or be in the position where they are running the thing? Because it seems very... nothing's really been set in stone as to who's actually running what and how things are set at the moment.
Yeah, I think it could be a while. I saw there's an investigation into the buyout from some organisations, so there could be another delay on that, and these things never seem to run smoothly, do they?
Is it an investigation or is it just a due diligence?
I think it's an investigation from... I did see it earlier. UK... I can't remember what it was.
Not monopolies and...
Yeah.
Because, of course, there's a big attachment to Fox, isn't there, with the buyout.
Yeah, I think it's connected to that, so... how long that takes.
That's not like Formula One could do anything, you know, straightforward, is it?
It'll happen when Bernie wants it to happen. I mean, that's the key term, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Has he signed a 3-year? It's sort of like it carry on for 3 years, and he alongside So maybe that's the
transition
here. Yeah, that was the suggestion, and it? Christ knows. Let's touch on something else Bernie's mentioned. Walls. You know, let's put walls around the track so that people can't explore track limits, because they'll end up in a wall. He did clarify it to say artificial walls, so that they wouldn't cause as much damage, presumably, or death. I don't know, it got very muddly. And we've got Daniel Ricciardo saying gravel traps are sorted. And this is obviously off the back of what happened in Mexico. It's been a long week. I mean, where do we stand on this? Do we, it needs something, doesn't it? We can't just have cars just running off the road. And...
No, you can't. But we've had this discussion sort of in a reverse engineered way on the podcast before. When we talk about young drivers like Max Verstappen, for example, the reason he has the guts to make that move and shoot down the inside is because he has no fear, because he's never overshot a corner and gone nose first into a wall and shattered bones.
Well, yeah, he did everything by the shattered bones at Monaco, but yes.
Yeah, no, exactly, but it's because he's grown up and developed as a racing driver with escape routes, knowing that the track is a little bit more forgiving. So he develops that killer instinct and thinks, well, if I... it's a habit thing, isn't it? It's not the track's going to kill me. It's the track is in favour of me. When you go back and you look at those old school guys, I mean, Martin Brundle's a classic example. Martin Brundle, if the track, the track will bite you back harder than you bite it, so you have to respect it. I'm not saying modern drivers don't respect the tracks, but what I'm saying is they have less fear because we've taken those barriers away. If we put those barriers in, would we see as exciting a race? Would we see exciting moves? Would we see last gasp dives up the inside? I don't know. I mean, walls are surely more safer than putting, I don't know, speed bumps out there, because a Formula One car hitting a speed bump at full speed, you're liable to flip the damn thing as soon as it gets off the ground. I mean, we saw that when Webber went into the back of Heikki, wasn't it? And he sort of hit the back of him and then he backflipped. Because when you get the airflow going the wrong way on a car, it will launch. So you don't want things like that, but if you have people who then start going into walls, you also increase your safety cars, because how are you going to have to, you've got to clear that wreckage. So you're going to have to put a safety car in, which means you're going to slow down and take away the excitement from the race. I think there's a lot more questions than just, will it stop people running over corners? It's not about, it can't be just about that. But I do agree, gravel traps will make the difference.
Well, but the thing with gravel traps is they're just as liable to flip a car. And depending on how you do it and where you put them. True. So you have to be so careful of that. I mean, a couple of points here as well. Niki Lauda, after the race in Mexico, said Max Verstappen is in danger of wrecking his own career through his reckless driving. I could not disagree with this more. Yeah. I've got to be honest. And Jack Nichols, Reefham boy, who you all know out there, I'm sure, as the voice of BBC Five Live's Formula One coverage, doing an excellent job. He's a Norfolk boy. Support him, back him. He was on fire on the Checkered Flag podcast after the Mexican Grand Prix, basically emphasising with Max and with Sebastian Vettel, we had two pieces of real top-notch, on-the-edge racing in Mexico at the front of the race, and they were both ended up with penalties for racing. How is that right? We're in a motorsport where people are supposed to go racing. Two great bits of racing. Ultimately, you know, I guarantee you, 10 years ago, no one would have batted an eyelid at either of those bits of racing. Probably. You sure, Carl? I would say no. Or 20 years. no one would have. They would have been like, yeah, great. And they both get penalised.
I mean, I agree with the Verstappen penalty, because he didn't obey track limits. And the Vettel one, if it wasn't, it was on the edge, which we want.
I think if there hadn't been contact, it wouldn't have been called. Because he contacted him, didn't he? So if there hadn't been contact, I don't think they'd have said, you moved under braking. It's the fact that you moved under braking and you contacted someone.
And also the fact that you're such a git on the radio.
Well, that is fair enough.
That kind of pushed it towards that, I think. Doesn't help, does it? You walk in the stewards room and you've been calling the race director and this and that
he called him.
Yes. It doesn't help when you go in to try and defend yourself. So
he said a lot as well.
He did.
I just wanted to give you something extra to beep out.
I know you want to talk about this as well. I mean, in fairness, as much as I loved the racing and felt no one should have been penalised for that, I do also feel that they should have come down like a ton of bricks on Vettel for basically undermining the guy who runs the sport. Absolute joke. And then Charlie Whiting's in, I know we said this all last week, but Charlie Whiting's in the green room afterwards effectively apologising to Seb. That's what it looked like.
I read a wonderful piece by a chap called, I think his name's Luke Smith, and he writes, you can get him on Twitter, but I don't know what his Twitter handle is, but he writes for, I read it through the NBC Motorsport Talk, and he basically likened what Charlie Whiting does to a referee. He's the referee out there. He's the closest thing you've got to a referee. Now, if you think of it in terms of that, going up and swearing like that quite aggressively to a referee, okay, I know in football and the Premier League, people do swear a lot and they gesture and they point and they say, oh, F off ref and things like that. But you talk about something like rugby, you swear at a referee, you're gone. American football in the NFL, you swear at a referee, you're gone. Or you're flagged or you're penalised for it. And I just think that we should, I say we, F1 should be so much more strict and say, no, I'm sorry, you can swear and get angry if you want at the person in front of you. The moment you start attacking the officials, that's when you have a serious problem. And we've talked before about, I mean, we're going all the way back to Multi 21 when I talked about Sebastian Vettel, and I said then he needs to be shown that no man is bigger than the team. This goes bigger than that. He needs to be shown that no man is bigger than the sport. And by attacking your race official, the race, the man in charge of the race, in charge of every race. And I think that we can agree that actually, Charlie's done a pretty good job being in charge of Formula One. It all seems to go off fairly well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So to go and attack that person in the expletive-filled way that he did, it shows a nice bit of edge to him, and it shows a bit of passion, because normally all we get is, yeah, well, for sure, we want to do the best that we can and try and score points, and it's robotic. So it showed a bit of passion, but you've got to direct it in the right way.
It also shows that lack of real genuine leadership in the sport, that didn't happen above him, that someone's not running it so that they properly deal with it. But there we go. I think we did that last week, so let's move on.
I just wanted to talk about it. I came out of hiding for this podcast just to come at Seb.
It needed to be said just again. Absolutely. There's a bit of driver talk we've had. Kevin Magnussen has been in talks with Haas over next season. Kyle,
I know nothing.
Talk about robotic answers. He knows nothing. But do you actually, what do you think? What do you think though?
I think it'll be, yeah, I think it'll be good for both.
If it happened,
yeah.
Is he going to replace Gutierrez, I assume?
Gutierrez seems to want to leave anyway, doesn't he? So
yeah, to do what?
Yeah, that's the problem. Has he got enough money to go to Sauber back there? I think Ferrari seemed keen on keeping him in Haas.
I like that. In Haas.
But yeah. I think Magnussen will be good for Haas. And yeah, I think Haas will be good for Magnussen.
Oh, I'll get your money on it. I think Kyle reckons that's happening. Just put words in his mouth. We've got Esteban Ocon set for Force India, is the reports today. So that will be alongside Sergio Perez, with, of course, Nico Hülkenberg now confirmed at Reading. Reading? Renault. Oh my God, my brain is fried. At Renault. He's done okay, hasn't he? Sebastian Ocon or Esteban Ocon? Esteban Ocon, although I did notice in one of my predictions, I suggested that Jordan King would go faster than him in FP1. I said he'd be within 0.3 of a second of his teammate, Manor, in FP1, and he was quicker than him. So nailed that one. Anyway, yeah. Esteban Ocon to Force India alongside Sergio Perez. He'll be the de facto team leader then, won't he?
He will. I don't necessarily think Ocon's an upgrade over Hülkenberg, and I don't necessarily think that he is potentially the best driver out there. But if they've seen the potential in him and they've got the time to commit to him and see what they're doing, I mean, is he the guy that you'd want in that seat in a punch out with Williams, for example? I would probably say not. I don't think you've seen enough of him. But the flip side to that is, who else is there that you can put in that seat? Who else has real interest and can come along and get into that seat? I don't really know the answer to that.
Well, you have, of course, brought up Williams, which leads us to Lance Stroll, who would be taking the place of Felipe Massa next season, because Felipe's retiring. He's going to go and enjoy his holes in Brazil, presumably, if that's what he's going to do.
They're not holidays if he lives there.
It'll be like life.
Well, he lives there, so it's not a holiday, isn't it? It's busman's holiday.
His whole life will be a holiday once he's retired.
And living in Brazil, your whole life's a holiday, isn't it?
Brazil's so big, you can go to different parts of the country.
It's like a Mardi Gras every day for Felipe.
I mean,
just
at least.
They're covered in beads and women dancing in like those flowery things that they have, that outfits, they've probably got names.
If only we could now do a food related national anthem of Brazil. Where is Rich when we need him? Hey Rich, send it. Rich, next time you come in, I want a food related Brazilian national anthem. Lance Stroll, got a lot of money. His family's got a lot of money. He has been racing a bit. Has he got a bit about him, or is this literally down to finances?
He's FIA F3 champion, which...
That sounds good.
Yeah, Max Verstappen didn't win that championship.
He's...
Yeah, exactly. So, he's got something about him. Obviously, his extremely rich dad.
Extremely rich, isn't he?
Yeah, he's proper billionaire. Not just a billionaire, I think a billionaire.
Is he American?
Canadian.
Yes, that's right, Canadian. Yeah. I don't know how he's got his money. Let us know if you know how he got his money. We don't know. We can't know.
Yeah.
My battery's running out on my iPad.
Must be Tommy Hilfiger, the brand.
Something's oof. I don't really know. Whoosh. Woof, indeed. So, can he race, though?
I think he's got something about him. He's done a lot of... Because his dad's been pretty much paying for his... for Lance to drive around Europe in the 2014 Williams. Various tracks. So he's done quite a bit of experience.
Well, this is the thing. If you can be in the position where you're coached and you do a lot of something, you will probably be good at it. So it then just comes down to natural talent. And I guess we'll see in Formula 1 where that racks up with some of the other guys.
Normally F1 is there's a test for that. That little bit of extra you need to stay there.
There is no hiding place. Unless it's Nico Rosberg and it's your fourth time trying to win a championship.
I've never heard of Lance Stroll. And I kind of automatically, we've had discussions before that I back up a little bit that people get into this sport just because of the money that they can bring. So I'm a little bit on edge about that. But I've never heard of him and I'm not happy about how he's got into the sport. I'm still happier to have him than Maldonado.
Probably does help the Canadian Grand Prix status as well.
Yes.
Which has already got a pretty good status anyway. Yeah. I mean, it's consistently been one of the better attended and better run and engaging and enjoyable races. Regular listeners will know I love the Canadian Grand Prix.
It only comes out for some races, and Canada's one of them.
Canada's one of them.
I mean, he's the first Canadian, or he will be the first Canadian driver in F1 since Gilles Villeneuve.
Jacques Villeneuve.
I tell you, my brain. Jacques Villeneuve, not Gilles Villeneuve. It's like 1924. Anyway, so there we go. Not much for Lance to live up to, the old Villeneuves. Little quiz for you that I saw on Twitter. Who's led most laps this season? And anyone want to hazard a guess at the numbers?
Rosberg. 600.
Two. As in against, say, well, we would assume Lewis will be second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
500.
I can't even do the maths in my head. So
gone.
Numbers wise, you haven't got a chance, but I would have said Rosberg's probably led most laps.
Well, I've got the figures here. It is Nico Rosberg, 486 to 452 Lewis. So there's only 30-odd laps difference. 34 laps difference, in fact. So half a race, possibly, depending on the race. We'll see how it ends up, of course, over the next two races. That figure is up to date, I assume. George Zander, have I pronounced that correctly? I don't know, but he is back at Sauber. He's returned as their new technical director from Audi. Can't really recall much about him, but clearly it's another piece in the jigsaw for Sauber not being anymore. And maybe they'll get their point in the next two races that they desperately need.
Or at least they're hiring people and not losing people.
I think that's
there he is, but that's
that's all we need to say, isn't it, on that one? Absolutely. We have got loads of stuff coming your way once I pull my finger out. Karting videos, Multi21, that video is almost exported.
Wow, it's almost done. Almost,
and it's almost going to be on YouTube. It's brilliant as well. It's so good. I've seen it lots. Don't forget, you can watch all of our, listen to all of our podcasts over at nrf1.uk/audioboomf1. And there is a button at nrf1.uk where you can press the red button, record your audio, have a rant, have a rave, and agree with us, disagree with us, and we can then just take that audio and sling it in the podcast. We would love to hear from
that's you. That's a fantastic feature, Michael.
It's a fantastic feature that we have not had the time to make the most of. So certainly, bearing in mind we've only got two more races of this year, come next season, we're going to be pushing that, and you guys are going to be fully involved.
And we can be in the pod, and we can hear what they say, and then we can discuss it.
Exactly.
We can do that.
We can interact with you. You guys
can engage in our podcast, and you can help we change F1 for the better. You can change NRF1 for the better.
I love him. He's the main man. Right, and don't forget, to get involved with us, you can become one of our patrons, help back us change Formula 1, and we have done it. We have done it. Everyone loves the new tyre strategies. Kyle came up with that. He sent it to Paul Hembree, who blatantly hadn't come up with it first. Back us. Help us spread the word. By doing that, with some advertising and joining us at patreon.com/NRF1. Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Follow us. The handle is @TheNRF1. That cuts for both our Twitter and Facebook pages. And everything you need is there and more. And of course, as I said, the website, nrf1.uk. Let's preview a race, shall we? Yes, we're going to preview Brazil. We're going to do it quite quickly because time is pressing. Brazil, what a race. This is it. Nico Rosberg can win the championship. He's only 19 points ahead of Lewis, but that's enough. If he wins the race, it's all over. Kyle, is he going to do it?
No.
I said that all season.
Hamilton will win his first...
Oh, he's constrained with the predictions.
Well, no, but Hamilton will win his first Brazilian Grand Prix.
Because Lewis has never won this. I don't think Nico had won it before last year, had he? This is, and Lewis has never won the Brazilian Grand Prix.
There's only two tracks, this and Baku, which has only been one race, so...
Wow, and he's won it everywhere else?
Yes, yeah.
Holy sh**. That's some record, isn't it? I mean, he's won 50 races, so I suppose he should have done. But
he ain't going to win it.
The title or the race?
The race. So, and therefore, probably the title. Probably the title. I don't think he's
going to
do it.
That's true. We keep going on about how well, as long Nico only needs to finish second to Lewis. But what happens if Lewis doesn't win a race? Because I suppose it completely depends on where Nico finishes, doesn't it? But it's going to be epic, isn't it?
Lewis is a fantastic racer. You all know that I believe that, and we generally believe that on the pod here. I just think that, and it's a silly thing to say, because then all the people will come out of the woodwork and say, yeah, but then he went and did. If he hasn't won in a country by now, in the quality of cars that he's been in, and if he hasn't won that race, it's because he doesn't agree with that track. It's because there is something about that track that he struggles with.
But Senna loved that track. It was his home track, but...
And?
He's his hero. Lewis's hero.
Well, I know. And maybe it's he tries too hard there. Maybe it gets to him. Maybe it's too much. But if he was going to win there, you'd have thought he'd have won there by now.
I've still just got Malaysia, him on the radio going, oh no! that's etched in my head, that reaction. The noise of his voice just said so much. Are we looking forward to this race? I mean, we're literally penultimate race. Abu Dhabi is the last one. It's normally a bit timid, isn't it? So this is it, isn't it?
Brazil's a classic, isn't it? It's normally changeable weather. The track's good. Overtaking can happen there.
Passionate fans as well, man. Like, you know you're going to get a really good turnout. Always going to get a good turnout. And especially for Felipe's last home race. I mean, I really hope he does well. I really do. Felipe, if you're listening, love goes out to you from the pod.
Yeah, that is absolutely spot on. His video with, is it his little boy? And then racing Daniel Ricciardo on his balcony. Just the best bit of Formula 1 racing I've ever seen without Formula 1 cars. It's absolutely brilliant. It's on the Facebook feed somewhere at the NRF1. I'll probably relink it before Brazil because it's just wonderful. Do we know what the weather forecast is like for the weekend? Has anyone seen it? Is there one out there?
No.
Oh, I wonder what it's like.
I can get it.
Ped's going to get it. It can change quickly, that's true. Yeah. I tell you what, while Ped finishes that, we're not going to bother asking most important weekend four because it's obvious. So we're going to skip straight on to the predictions. Now, I did do an updated prediction league off the back of Mexico and the US. I had a pretty good time of it, I must admit. The standings, look at how eager Carl looks. Steve remains top. That was damn it, in case you didn't hear it. Steve remains top. I think the gap's a little closer. I'm right behind you, Kyle. I've had a pretty good time of it, and I'm not far off you in third. Rich is now up to fourth. That was the only change. He's just usurped Kieran into fourth. Kieran's fifth. Sam Todd is sixth. He's doing well. Timmy's seventh. Ped, just haven't heard enough from you.
Yeah, I'm not involved.
That's all it is, really. That's all it is.
At least I can say the only reason I haven't won is because I haven't done anything. So if I'd been more active, then I would have absolutely dominated you all.
That's a very good driver's excuse there.
Just excuse being the optimal. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't turn up. Yes, you got the weather.
I've got weather. So interestingly, for Thursday and Friday, we are looking potentially at thunderstorms and rain. So that will be your free practice, running in the wet. But we're then likely to have a dry quali and sunny, and then a cloudy but warm race.
With rain back on the Monday, so given how changeable it is...
You could well get some rain there. Ooh. I think we could be looking at a wet race.
Well, let's get some predictions then, shall we? We're the guys. Steve's not here, but I guarantee we'll get some predictions from Steve with how competitive he sounded a couple of weeks ago. That boy wants to win this, I can tell you. Ped, you haven't done it for a while. Go for it.
That was absolutely fine. So I'm going to say Rosberg wins the race and therefore the championship. Okay. I'm actually going to say that someone's going to split the Mercs. So you're going to have someone, so that'll be Hamilton third, and I will say it's going to be Ricciardo in second. I'm going to say a top five finish for Felipe in his home race. That's more hope than expectation, but I just want to know, I want Felipe to know that the love is there. I think we are going to have a wet race, and by wet race I mean they go on to inters or full wets. That's what I mean by that. No safety car. That's what I'm going to say.
And a wet race.
And a wet race. So I'm going to be really bold there. Hopefully I can get some kudos points out of that if it comes off and I can get it.
Rich is well ahead in those, by the way.
It's because he's just so bold.
Ludicrous.
It's because he's just so bold. And then I will say that Hamilton will take pole. So I'll say he'll take pole, but he will finish third because he'll have a terrible start.
You happy with those?
Happy with those, yeah. Just leave it at that.
Good work, my man.
I can't win, so...
Well, never say... No, I don't think you can. No. Carl, would you like to go before me?
Yep.
Have you got them written down on your phone?
Yep. Oh. So Hamilton will take it to the last race by achieving pole and the win.
Ooh. First win in Brazil.
Vettel will DNF.
Oh.
Bit of karma following following Mexico.
I like that.
Alonso will have another tricky... qualifying as he did last year. We ended up on a deck chair, didn't he, in the middle of the track.
That was iconic, wasn't it? Yeah.
He'll be out in Q1. And then a couple of Brazilian specials. I've also got Massa top six. A little bit safer compared. And Nasa will get some points this weekend. Oof. And Sauber's first points.
Wow, good shout. Nasa to get Sauber's first points.
Yeah.
At the home race.
Oh, I like that one. That's a great shout. I wish I'd said that. Okay, so I've got you. Did you do yours on the hoof?
Yeah. Right. Dude, I never plan my predictions.
You were so much quicker than I'm going to be.
I just literally just chuck them out from every time.
Okay.
To be fair, I'd forgotten that Felipe Nasa was a thing. So I didn't include him. I was like, well, Brazilian driver's Felipe, that's nice. I'll have some of that. So good shout, Kyle.
I think Nico Hülkenberg will finish in the top seven. I don't think Felipe Massa will score a point. I think it's going to be quite... It just won't be what he hoped for. Bless his cottons. I think both Haases will be outside the top 12. Don't think they're going to have a great weekend of it. I think that Kevin Magnussen will finish ahead of Jolyon Palmer. I think that... it's so hard to predict what's going to happen at the top of the... I just love Lewis to win there. I'd love it. And also, I literally predicted at the start of the season, Nico Rosberg will not ever be a world champion. So I'm going to go for it. I'm going to say Lewis Hamilton will win the race. And I think that's probably all. I feel like I want to do a prediction in honour of Rich. So let's say that... Do we know any famous Brazilian people? Footballers.
Pele.
He's quite ill at the moment. Yeah.
Well, it won't be Giselle. She's Brazilian, isn't she? But she's going to be at home because obviously it's football season. So Tom Brady's playing, and he'll be playing on Sunday because they've just had a bye week. So it won't be her.
No, she won't. All right. I feel like I'm going down. I'm not as good at this as Rich.
Barrichello maybe rocking up.
Rubens Barrichello will be there, and at some point he'll have his arm around Felipe Massa.
I think he'll be the guy asking the questions on the podium at the end.
Oh, is that a prediction?
No, that's just chat. That's just conversation.
I might have that as a prediction. As a prediction.
That's yours. If you get it, I get a kudos point for it.
All right, I think that's fair enough.
Yeah.
All right then, job done. Gents, what an epic, lovely pod. We've only got one more race after this one, so, and just a handful more pods and before the winter sets in. although it's already doing that behind us. Thanks all. Thanks everyone for listening. Keep in touch. Tell us your predictions. Get them in before FP1 and you can make a late charge for the title. I think you probably win, to be honest, if you get enough right. Why not? And we will be back after the action in Sao Paulo, Interlagos, just to let you know what the actual track name is, because we haven't said that. I cannot wait to watch the race. It's going to be a cracker, hopefully. Fingers crossed. We'll see how it all pans out. Ped, Carl, thank you so much. Thanks everyone for listening. See you on the other side. Enjoy it. Bye for now.